Let's do it again. No. As you know, last week we began a new series, and I told you a little story about a coffee pot that I found when I was a little kid that had once belonged to a miner who had done his work in the hills around the ranch where I grew up. And I got that coffee pot, and I kept it with me for many years. It actually became part of a fountain that I built in my backyard. But over the years, it became leaky and old, and it was no longer any good for using in my fountain because it wouldn't hold water anymore. But I kept it, and the reason I kept it is because even though it's no good for holding water, it still holds memories for me. It connects the life story of that miner, at least what I knew about it, to my life story. In fact, his story, in a weird way, became part of my story as soon as I had his coffee pot and I kept it around for me with all those years, and I would tell the story over and over. It became part of my story. So I kept it. It wasn't much good for holding water anymore, but it wasn't good for nothing, because it held memories for me. You probably have little things like that around your house. Maybe it's that snow globe you got in, you know, wherever it was, USA, in that time that you did whatever you did. Maybe it's those Hummels that used to be on Grandma's shelf, but now they're on your shelf. My mom recently passed away. She was a big one for plastic yard animals, especially frogs. And her weirdest frog has a straw hat, you know, and it's playing a harp, and it has this big grin. It's sitting on a log. It's super ugly, but guess whose yard that's in today? These things don't seem like they're good for much, but they're good for something because they tell us a little bit about who we are, you know? They're like little ID cards. They kind of tell a little bit about who we are, our identity. Now, the name of this new series is Earthen Vessels, and it is inspired by what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians about who we are. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that God, in His grace, He has poured out His Holy Spirit, and He's poured out a treasure onto all people, and that treasure is His Holy Spirit, and that treasure is the gospel. It's by the gospel that we're assured that God loves us. And it's by the gospel that we're shown the way that we can live up to and into our identity as sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So He has poured out this story and poured out this Holy Spirit onto all people. God has done this. And Paul says He has poured this Spirit into what he calls jars of clay, these bodies of ours. He's poured this beautiful Holy Spirit and this great story of the gospel into these jars of clay, earthen vessels, that while they're imperfect and broken and worn and worked over, they're still good for something. Good always for carrying that Holy Spirit, carrying that story of the gospel into our families, into our workplaces, into the world. We have this in these earthen vessels. Now, Paul says in that very same chapter, he says, well, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day by that Spirit. Now, it may not be true for my mom's frog or for your Hummels or for that coffee pot of mine, but I hope by the time we get through this series, we begin to believe that that is true for each one of us. That truly, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, He is renewing us and connecting us more and more fully to His story, that gospel story that saves. Now, this passage that we heard today comes from the book of Ezekiel. And it points us in the direction of a couple of things. Last week we talked about how a Holy Communion was one of these moments that God provides to help fill us up with His Holy Spirit. And remember, we said that it's really important the attitude that we bring to that sacrament so that we can really enter into that communication with God. We said it was really important to come to that sacrament with a spirit of humility, knowing that we don't need to be perfect to come to that sacrament, but we need to be pliable and teachable and perfectible. We need to come with a desire to be changed, become more like Christ. We said that we need to come to that sacrament with a needy spirit, knowing our need for His forgiveness. And that we come to that sacrament also with an open-handed attitude, knowing that we don't deserve, that we haven't done anything to earn that sacrament any more than we've done anything to earn our salvation in Christ. But God asks us to, come open-handedly and receive it as a gift. And we said we need to come to that sacrament with an attitude of joy, anticipating that if we come with that attitude of humility and neediness and open-handedness, indeed, we will meet Jesus. Chances are we'll meet Him and we'll feel that presence. Well, that's one way that God provides for us to be filled with that Spirit and connect to His story and reminds us about who Jesus is. In this story in Ezekiel, it points us to another way that God uses to connect us up to that Spirit and to that story, but also connect us to who we really are, who we really are. Now, Ezekiel was a guy, he was one of the 10,000 Israelites or 10,000 Jewish people who were brought out of Jerusalem when that place was conquered by the Egyptians and the Assyrians. They brought 10,000 of the best and the brightest, the people that they thought would be the most use to them, and took them and shipped them off to Babylon, put them into exile in Babylon. Now, Ezekiel was there with this 10,000 people in Babylon, and all of them had been separated from their wives and from their children, from their futures, from everything that they ever hoped for and dreamed for, including Ezekiel. And all of them were in anguish about the fate of those that they'd left behind to suffer through the sacking and the ruin of Jerusalem. So Ezekiel is there. He is suffering with this 10,000. But in that moment, he also is called by God to be a prophet, to be a prophet of God, which means somebody who's going to speak for God to the people. And he speaks to them, or God speaks through him to the people, to help them begin to understand why they're in the predicament that they're in, why they're in captivity in Babylon. And the idea is what God says is, look, you're here in Babylon in captivity because of choices that you've made as a people. Choices that you've made. Choices that especially your leadership has made. In this case, to make alliances with foreign powers that had surrounded them in the hope that they, these powers, would protect Jerusalem, protect the people of Israel from all of the wars and stuff that was going on around them. Now, making alliances is something that we do as a nation. It's something that the Israelites did and would do again. It's not that that's bad. But in this case, God wanted the people to not do that. He wanted them to trust in His power, to trust in Him. He wanted the people in this case to be a vessel through whom others would see the power of God, but they refused to do it. Now, it's worth pointing out that people who know God very, very well, and you know this is true, people who know God very, very well throughout their whole lives, and of course these people who had been chosen by God to be His representatives on earth, still, we are given a lot of latitude. We are given free will to choose or not to choose God's will for us. And the more that we use that free will to turn away from God, to turn away from His will, usually the more trouble we're going to get into. Now, Ezekiel tells the people who are in exile in Babylon that there's going to be several years of real hardship as a consequence of their actions. But he also knew, and he also told them, that God is a promise-keeping God, that God would not abandon them, that God had chosen them. And once they were chosen, they can't get unchosen. They're chosen. And that God is going to come through for them in the end when they are able to courageously and humbly follow him again. He would lead them back. He said that God said to the people through Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. In this case, idols means all of those things that they decided they were going to trust in instead of trusting in God. God says, I'm going to cleanse you of that. I'm going to cleanse you, he says, of the shame that you feel because you have turned your back on me because they felt it. They knew that they'd done wrong. He says, I'm going to cleanse you of that, but I'm also going to cleanse you of this habit, this desire to follow after these false gods, these fake things that we put our trust in, these fake gods that never fail to deceive us and are always faithful to fail us in the end. Right? Fake gods, these fake things that we put our trust in, that we think are going to make us happy, that we think are going to make us who we are, make us better than we are, whatever it is, anything over and above God, these fake gods that never fail to deceive us and are always faithful to fail us in the end. He says, I'm going to cleanse you of that. And then he says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. He's going to fill them up with his spirit. He says, I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He's going to take out that heart of stone, that heart of stone that says, I know best. I know which way to go. I know what I ought to do. He's going to take that heart of stone away and replace it with a heart of flesh that's pliable, that's teachable, that's perfectible, that has a desire to do God's will. He's going to replace their hearts with that heart. And then he says, I will put in you my spirit, and then I will move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. I'm going to move you to do that, he says. He says, I'm going to give you the power to know my will and then the willpower to carry it out. Pretty good stuff, right? I'm going to give you the power to know my will, and then the willpower to carry it out. And finally, he says, you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back to Jerusalem. You're going to rebuild it. You're going to rebuild your lives. And then the big one, you will be my people, he said, and I will be your God. In other words, they'll live into and up to and understand their true identity. You'll be my people, and I will be your God. Begins with the cleansing, right? Begins with the cleansing. And it ends with understanding and knowing the true identity, people who belong to God. Now look, they already belonged to God. They were chosen. They couldn't get unchosen. But what God's talking about here is having them understand that and begin to live into their true identity. What he's talking about here is stop forgetting that you belong to me. And that's what they'd done. They'd forgotten to live into their chosenness. They'd forgotten to do that. What they needed to do was turn back to God and have that identity affirmed again. Reaffirmed, sons and daughters of God, people who belong to God. It's funny how we sometimes forget our real identity, right? Our real ID. We get lost. I went down to get my real ID. Has anybody got your real ID at the DMV yet? You did? It doesn't sound like it was fun for you, was it fun? No, it wasn't fun? Yeah, I have a tip. Yeah, make an appointment. Definitely make an appointment. But then keep your eyes open, too, because I went in, and it was so crowded, I couldn't see where it said appointments here. So I ended up waiting 45 minutes anyway for my ID. But the thing is, you come to get your real ID, you have to bring evidence that you are who you are, right? You have to bring evidence. Now, I brought my passport, I brought a W-2 form, and I brought my utility bill because I had to give evidence that I was an American citizen, that I have a Social Security card, and that I live in California. Now, I finally got my real ID when I gave them that evidence, but the ID didn't make any of those things true, right? I already was all of those things. It's just the ID affirms what I say, that what I already know. Folks, every single person in this room and every single person outside this room has been redeemed and saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not something anything you could do anything about or anything anybody else can do anything about. It's something that's been done through by Christ, through God. God through Christ has done it. The deal is done. Now, we can choose not to live into that identity, right? We've been given the power, the freedom to refuse that identity, to deny that claim that we are people redeemed and forgiven by God. We can deny that claim. We have the freedom to accept false ideas about ourselves. False ideas about who we are. But it doesn't matter whether we don't believe it, don't want it, never cared about it. It doesn't matter. It's a done deal. Everyone has been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he did. What we do, what we help others to do, is wake up to that idea. Wake up to that truth. Wake up to our real ID as sons and daughters of God. Sons and daughters of God that are filled up like earthen vessels, filled up with His Spirit and sent out with a real purpose. In another place, another prophet once said of God, he said, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." Does it sound like we have a lot of initiative in this situation? Not really. It's pretty much all about God, isn't it? "Lord, you are my Father. You are the clay. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." And when a potter sits down with a lump of clay, they have a vision for that lump of clay, right? They decide what they think they want to make this lump of clay into, what they're going to design it into. If you're a potter, you want to design a vase. You take that clay and you make it into the perfect design, the thing that's going to hold those flowers. Now, you can take that vase and you can use it in all kinds of ways. You can use it as a drinking cup. You can use it to put out a house fire. But it's not going to work very well because it's not designed for that. You and I and all people are designed to be vessels, to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and connected to that story of God's story and be sent out into the world to help others wake up to that identity. We are perfectly designed to be sons and daughters of God in this world. Amen? That's what we are designed to do. Whether or not we live up, whether or not we let ourselves be used for the thing that we are best for is up to each and every one of us, each and every day, and each and every decision that we make. We are already redeemed and forgiven. And most of us here are baptized, isn't that right? Most of us are baptized here. Yeah. It's a funny thing. When you were brought up for baptism, you were given this ID. You were in somebody's arms, probably a pastor or a priest. And you don't remember it, probably. But they said, "You're baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," and they sprinkled that water on you. in that moment. You weren't made redeemed. You weren't made forgiven. But what was already true was affirmed in that moment. Your parents affirmed it. If you're old enough, you affirmed it. You affirmed what's already true. You're redeemed and forgiven sons and daughters of God. Now, if you were baptized, there was evidence that goes along with that affirmation. Ways that we show that we are indeed those people, those sons and daughters of God. When you were baptized, either you said or somebody said for you, that is evidence of living into and up to who you really are. You would renounce the spiritual forms of wickedness. That's a mouthful. It said we would resist evil in all its forms. Somebody said, or maybe we said for ourselves, that we would repent of our sins. Somebody said for us, or we said for ourselves, that we would serve Christ as our Lord, serve Jesus as our Lord. All these things are evidences of whether or not we're living up to and into our true identity. Sons and daughters of God, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes those things are hard to do, and they're hard to even figure out what that means. I mean, renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? That sounds like, you know, something out of Star Wars. We're going to be, you know, grappling with Darth Vader. It's big stuff. But come on. Spiritual forces of wickedness rear their heads every time we fight with our spouse and then we won't speak to them for 4 days. Right? We decide we're not going to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord every time we stop trusting in Him. So these are things that we do every day. But I think all of those can be wrapped up into that Ezekiel paradigm. But we need to remember that to give evidence to living into and up to who we really are, that we want to be sure that we're not following those fake gods, any of those things that we decide we're going to trust in over God. All those things that never fail to deceive us and are always faithful to fail us. We got to try our best to live up to and into the idea that we belong to God, that we're His sons and His daughters. This week as we go out, let's remember that every single person that we meet, whether they know it or not, care or not, or have never heard this thing before, they're all potentially sons and daughters of God. Everyone has been redeemed and forgiven by God, not by them, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And many of them are just waiting for a single word from some earthen vessel that has been filled up with the power of the Holy Spirit and connected to His story of the gospel in their lives. Maybe it's you, and maybe it's me. And all they need is that one word to wake up to their real ID. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are here to worship You. We're here to listen to Your word. And Lord, we're here to ask that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will put that new heart in us, that heart that is pliable and teachable and is willing to be changed. Lord, we ask that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You send us out this week with ears to hear and eyes to see, where we may make a difference as your people, vessels filled with your Holy Spirit to do your work of bringing your good news and gospel into this world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.